It's always nice.
Always.
Yeah, right? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ما بعد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني في قولي اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to sit here to obtain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by talking about his Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I can't stress this point enough that we are honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where people are speaking about all these haram things at this time and this hour. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us to talk about the best of creation, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our hearing and our speaking and our listening. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So we're going to today, inshallah, wrap up the discussion on the Battle of Uhud. We left off on a slight cliffhanger because we talked about there's a tatimma, a completion of the story of the Battle of Uhud, which many people don't know of. And it's extremely important and vital. And I would say that you actually can't understand Uhud until you get this point down. So it's really important. But in order for us to understand this and connect everything, I'll give you a quick summary of what we discussed for the last 2 weeks when we discussed about Uhud. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears news about an army of 3,000 coming from Makkah to Medina. And the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa getting ready for this, he assembles about 1,000 soldiers. When the 1,000 soldiers go out, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since they're coming so close to the area of Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chooses Mount Uhud. And he decides to put the Muslims' backs towards there. As soon as he gets out, 300 of the hypocrites, they leave the army, and they actually head back into Medina. So the army that started off with 1,000 is now at 700. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees this, he's not deterred by it, not bothered. The two tribes at that time, Banu Haritha and Banu Salama, actually started to feel a little wavered, and they started to feel like they should go back as well. What Allah Ta'ala does, though, he keeps their hearts firm. So they stay on the battlefield with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when that happens, the battle ensues in the next morning. It's on Saturday. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he assembles again, he has this very beautiful, the tactician mind of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he's able to organize the battle. Again, we talked about this. The military generals are amazed by the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi designed the battle sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was masterful in the way he designed the battle. And so the army was facing, the non-Muslim army was facing towards Mount Uhud, whereas the Prophet was facing towards Medina. So if the army were to turn its back and try to attack Medina, the Muslims would just come from behind and, you know, wipe them out right there. So the Prophet does so, and he brings out his best soldiers, Ali radiallahu anhu, Hamza radiallahu anhu, and all this stuff happens. And you know that in the beginning, the Muslims are completely victorious. The Prophet, though, he knew there was one fatal spot in the battle, which was the area where you could go behind and come around to attack the Muslims. And it was around this small little mountain area, a little hill. And the little hill was where the archers were stationed. The Prophet put there 50 or so archers. He said, you need to stay here. No matter what happens on the battlefield, you must stay here. If you move, or even if you come down, even if you see us victorious, the Prophet said, even if you see us being eaten by birds, the Prophet said, you stay in your spot. Don't move. And so they were winning and everything was fine. And the archers were in that spot. But as soon as the Quraysh army started to run away, they dropped their flag and started to leave. And then everyone started collecting war spoils. And the archers, unfortunately, what happened was some of them started to say that we're losing out on the gold and silver and the armor and everything. We should call down. And so the leader of them, Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he actually says that, what are you doing? The Prophet told us to stay here. He said, no, the battle's over. This is clear. It's fine. It's fine for us to go down. They made an excuse for disobedience. No? And this will come up at the end when we talk about the lessons that we can derive from this. So then about 40 or so go down. There's 10 people left. Khalid Walid, we talked about how smart he was, the one of the generals from the other side. And so he sees it and he goes around and he kills all the archers and he completely storms the Muslims from behind. And you and I know that the battle becomes complete chaos at that time. A person named Ibn Qamiyah comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He attacks him so hard and so severely. He kills a man named Mus'ab radiallahu anhu, who was a flag bearer. And in that moment, everyone said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has died because Mus'ab looks so familiar to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ibn Qamiyah thought, I hit him so hard, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is probably dead by now. So he started to mention this on the battlefield and everyone started to run away. Muslims were in complete chaos. They went all over the place. It was very, very difficult for them at that time. Very, very difficult for them. But having said that, there was a group of Muslims that did not believe the Prophet ﷺ died, so they started to look for him on the battlefield. The Prophet ﷺ was very well and alive. We talked about the ones that with the Prophet ﷺ, Talha radiallahu anhu, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, we talked about Umar radiallahu anhu, we talked about many of the Sahaba that were with the Prophet ﷺ at that time. And the Prophet ﷺ, his job was, he's trying to cut away. He's all in the top of the battlefield. So he has to get to all the way to the bottom. So he actually cuts away through the enemy to try to get all the Muslims down on the bottom and take them all the way up to shelter, which is at the foot of Mount Uhud. And the Prophet, he does so, he actually draws all the attention to himself. You remember, he started to say, hey, look, this is the Prophet. This is Muhammad in front of you. Rasulullah is in front of you. The Prophet takes himself and puts himself as a sacrifice for the entire army to do so. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we spoke about each point in detail. So the Prophet does so, and subhanAllah, the Quraysh army starts following him, and the Muslims are able to successfully get up to the foot of the mountain. Right? It's a big chaos. You know, 70 Muslims died. It was very, very difficult, right? Very, very difficult time. And we talked about the valiant sacrifice, where there was one group which was running away from the battlefield, another group looking for the Prophet ﷺ, a third group that said, if Muhammad died, he died. We only worship Allah anyways. And he said, if Muhammad ﷺ is waiting for us on the other side, we'll go and meet him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the great people like Mus'ab radiallahu anhu, like Hamza radiallahu anhu, these great people, Anas ibn Nadhr radiallahu anhu, who said that I could smell the fragrance of paradise coming from the mountain of Uhud. Where are you all running to? These amazing individuals, mashallah. Hanzala radiallahu anhu, and you know, he just got married the last night. He literally heard the call to go out to fight right after Fajr Salah. He couldn't even have time to make ghusl properly. You know, he just went out to the battle. This is what a type of person he was. These people, they sacrificed their lives for deen. So Allah recorded them in his book. It's Surah Al-Ahzab. Rijalun sadaqu ma'ahadullahu alayhi. There are men which have shown God that they are truthful men. There are men who have shown Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how true they are to the deen. They're willing to give their lives for Islam. Amazing people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is able to regroup and everyone. And you all remember, as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's like blood on his face, he's washing off, everything has to clean up. He's trying his best to make wudu. There's like a big gash on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they have to sort of cauterize the wound. So they end up burning something and then putting it there to kind of seal up the wound at that time. And Fatima radiallahu anha and Ali radiallahu anha are there trying to help the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make wudu. And immediately after the Prophet makes wudu, what does he do? Salah, in the middle of the entire chaos, the Prophet is making salah. Can you imagine that? And then what excuse do we have? We're at the movie theater. Oh, I can't make namaz. What excuse do we have? You know, may Allah give us understanding. May Allah give us understanding. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, afterwards, you know, the battle's kind of calming down. Muslims know that the Prophet is alive. Abu Sufyan is still on the other side. He's the chief or the leader of the other side. And Abu Sufyan, he doesn't buy Ibn Qamiyah's words, because Ibn Qamiyah is bragging about how great he was. Oh, look at, I killed Muhammad and stuff. He's like, yeah, okay, let's go over there. So he goes over there, he gets on top of a hill and starts to announce. Remember last time, he starts to say that, you know, if is Muhammad alive? You know, he's screaming out, he's like, is Muhammad alive? And the Prophet is hiding with Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. So you guys remember. So then Prophet says, don't say anything, you know? Don't say anything. And then they say, Abu Sufyan goes and says, is Abu Bakr alive? And then Abu Bakr is there. Of course he's alive. But Prophet says, don't say anything. And in the middle is what? Umar radiallahu anhu is getting really heated, right? We talked about that. He's getting really angry. Prophet says, don't say anything, Umar. And then finally they said, is Umar ibn Khattab alive? And at this moment, Umar cannot handle it anymore. So he got up and said, everyone's alive. Muhammad is alive. Abu Bakr is alive. I'm alive. You haven't killed anybody. You know, and then they had this back and forth. The most important thing you need to remember is just three things what Abu Sufyan said. There was a nice back and forth. If you missed it, it's on recording, inshallah. It's tweet upon, right? So what happens is Umar radiallahu and him have a nice back and forth. Abu Sufyan basically says, today was in replacement for Badr. What you did on Badr, you killed so many of us. This is that exchange for that. And we're going to come back again the next year to finish off what we started. Okay. And then the third thing that Abu Sufyan said, that we had a proper exchange, meaning that 70 of ours were killed and 70 of yours were killed. Umar radiallahu says very beautifully, he says, there's no la sawa'a, there's no equality here. There's nothing equal here. Qatlana fil jannah wa qatlakum fil nar. Our people that died are going to Jannah. The ones that you died are going to hell. What is this? How's this equal? You know, this is like amazing stuff that Sahaba radiallahu, even after all this, have such firm iman. And finally, through all of this, we talked about last time, we spent a good amount of time talking about when the Prophet finally goes and visits the martyrs that passed away in the battle. He saw so many of them. So many of them that are so close to his heart. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Haram was the father of Jabir. Jabir radiallahu was like a son to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, he saw the father of Jabir passed away on the battlefield. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Haram, he was the person that Allah Ta'ala, the Prophet ﷺ, tells Jabir and tells his mother and tells everyone in his community, says, don't worry. Abdullah was the only person, Jabir's father, was the only person that Allah Ta'ala spoke to without a veil in between when he died. And then he said, Abdullah, Allah Ta'ala speaks to Abdullah and says, Abdullah, do you want anything? And he's very shy. He's not saying anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him again and says, Abdullah, tell me what you want. It's okay. You can ask me now. You know? And Abdullah is still shy. Then Allah asks him a third time. And then finally, at that moment, Abdullah said, Ya Allah, if you can send me back to the world so I can be martyred one more time. If I can just be taken one more time. Because that experience that they had at that moment, no one can describe it. And this is why Allah ta'ala says that don't worry about that moment of death. People are all so scared. At that moment, such a happiness. Even people in Jannah are saying, come back. Do you understand? So in any case, Abdullah bin Amr is someone, and the most tragic one was when the Prophet ﷺ sees, you know, first he sees Mus'ab, which doesn't have enough kafan to cover his body. And so they actually have to make some extra kafan out of leaves to cover up his feet, radiallahu anhu. Mus'ab was such a person, the Prophet ﷺ sent to Medina to be one of the first teachers there. You know, such a young boy at age, like, you know, his teenage years. The Prophet ﷺ chose him because of what? Because he knew so much Quran. He didn't choose any other Sahabi, sent him to Medina. So all the Muslims that accepted Islam from Medina on the hands of Mus'ab, radiallahu anhu. Thereafter, the Prophet sees Hamza radiallahu anhu, and we talked about that, how difficult that was. The Prophet, he felt so, there were so many tears. Anas radiallahu anhu said, we never saw the Prophet cry so much like we saw him crying on that day. Very difficult for the Prophet. Then on the way back, we spoke about the Prophet passing by all these women, right? One woman who come up to the battlefield and say, you know, her father died, her brother died, her husband died. And each time she would say, that's fine. Where's the Messenger? Where's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then they said, he's fine. And then he said, no, I need to see him. She said, I need to see him. And then finally, when she sees him, then she says, after seeing you, every calamity is small. Everything becomes tiny. And that's how you and I should feel. Life is very long. But trust me, when you see the Prophet says on the Hawd al-Kawthar, you won't remember anything, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah grant us that. Ameen, ya Rabbana, ameen. And many other sisters like that. Hanzala that we just talked about, the one who was martyred on the battlefield after he just got married last night. Actually, she was someone who said she already knew. She actually told everyone to bear witness that that Hanzala, he consummated the marriage with me. And I wanted, she got a couple of the men from her community to do so. Why did she do that? Because she was actually bearing his child now. She said that I already knew that he was going to pass away on the battlefield. She said, how did you know? She said, before he passed away, the night when this happened, she said, I had a dream that I saw him, that Hanzala was being taken up to the heavens. So immediately I knew that he was going to go. So I wanted to take something with me before he left. So then she has a son from him. His name is Abdullah. Abdullah becomes one of the greatest alims of the ummah, radiallahu anhu. You know what he used to brag about? After all of his, he's qadi, he's mufti, he's muhaddith, everything. He's the master. What did he say? He used to brag about how my father was washed by angels. That's what he used to brag about. You know, these are children, amazing children. So Allah Ta'ala didn't leave Hanzala like that. So this woman, radiallahu anhu, and this is what we mentioned about last time, about how much iman and how much taqwa these people had. And I wish we could inculcate some of these qualities. But even in this difficult time, they're just worried about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How's he doing? And so now they come back into Medina. We come back to now where we're at right now. They come back to Medina. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and everyone, it's nighttime. People are exhausted. People are wounded. People are injured. We just lost 70 people. We had to pray janazah on all of them. They all been, you know, the kafan and duffin. They didn't have enough spaces in the qabars for them. So they put two or three into one, right? There's so much that's happening. And this time you can imagine how injured and difficult, how tired people are. And along with that, what do we find? That there were certain people who were feeling extremely miserable. That how could we have disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How could you sleep after such a terrible defeat? And it's all because of what? Because we didn't listen to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those marchers that came down, the 40 of them that came down, some of them were still alive. And they said, what did we do? Why did we do it? It was completely wrong of us. And so they started to blame themselves for this. So some of them couldn't sleep because of regret and sadness. And there was one person, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could not sleep because he knew that something was not right. So, and it was the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why a leader, when they're planning things and they're designing things, they're always planning for what if. Okay, this all went right, but what if something goes wrong? What do we say at that moment? And this is how the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was. So after the battle, while everyone's heading back to Medina, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu doesn't come home. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, Ali, go and check on the army, the Quraysh army. See where they are. And so then Ali radiallahu anhu goes up and the Prophet gave him a very specific rule. He said, if they're sitting on their horses and not their camels, he basically said, which animal are they riding? You know, are they riding the horse or riding a camel? The Prophet said, if they're riding the horse, that means they're going to come back and fight us in Medina. And if they're riding the camels, what does that mean? They're going back to Makkah. Very smart, very intelligent, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he tells Ali radiallahu anhu the specific thing. And Ali radiallahu anhu comes back saying the good news that they're riding on their camels, they're heading back to Makkah. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the entire night is not resting. He's not okay because things did not seem right. Why did things not seem right? Because generally after a battle, if you won it in that time, you are going to have the greatest victory parade. Okay, what happens after football? You win the Super Bowl. I learned about this in this when I came here, that you actually get a day off. Subhanallah. This doesn't happen in New York because it never happens that we win. You know, honestly speaking. Okay. So, but subhanAllah, happens to you guys also often, so that you get a day off and now everyone's feeling miserable. Last couple of years, people are like, oh, nothing happened. No, whatever. The main thing, the point I'm trying to make here is that victors in a battle, they often like to boast and brag and have a parade for whatever amount of days. So in that time, they used to do it for 3 days. So they would go around the battlefield that they won on, and they would just for 3 days just party and dance and whatever and things like that. So after the Battle of Badr, the Prophet ﷺ obviously is doing ibadah, they're doing like scouting and things like that. But the Prophet ﷺ still showed after 3 days after Badr, they stayed in Badr and did the rounds, you know. After Uhud, the thing is that Quraysh just left. There was no victory parade, nothing, you know, there's no none of that stuff, no floats, whatever. So they was very, very suspicious. The second thing the Prophet ﷺ noticed was that they didn't take any war spoils. They took nothing back. After the Muslims won in Badr, they took back 70 as prisoners. Quraysh didn't take a single person. So the Prophet ﷺ is looking at the situation and he's saying it's not done. So he actually has spies and scouts and he waits for them to come back. Abbas, if you remember, he's in Makkah as a spy for the Prophet ﷺ. The news comes back from Abbas. News comes back from another couple of his scouts. They were all there and they all came back and said, Ya Rasulullah, it looks like they stopped at the place called Roha and they are coming back. It's about 70 or so kilometers away from Medina. That's very quick. They're at Roha and it doesn't seem like they left. So the Prophet ﷺ immediately after Fajr tells Bilal, Bilal, give an announcement. He said, everyone who fought in Uhud, get ready, we're going to fight again. Okay? So now at this moment, after so many difficulties, so many injuries, so many wounds, so many martyrs, all these things, what is the first thing you and I are going to think? I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I can't do this. Oh, Messenger of Allah, I know you're calling me right now, but this is just too difficult for us. Right? This is too difficult. We can't handle this. We just lost. How can we go out again? At least give us a break. Right? But this is when we think about it as us, as weaker Muslims compared to Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And you have to appreciate and value who they are when you compare them to us, because that's the only way you're going to understand. So what are they doing? They're checking their wounds. So what are they doing? So these two guys from Banu Ashhar, we have literally the two guys. So one of the brothers to one another. So one of them is checking the wounds of the other one, saying, all right, you look good enough. You look good to go. If you get a little tired, I'll carry you. And if I get a little tired, you carry me. We'll get there. All the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, you know, Ali radiallahu anhum, all these Sahaba, you know, all the Sahaba, Jabir radiallahu anhu, the son of Abdullah bin Amr ibn Haram, right? The guy that talked to Allah without a veil. His son Jabir said, Ya Rasulullah, you let me come too. Because my father, he told me to stay back because of my sisters, because I had to take care of them. My father died in the battlefield. Ya Rasulullah, you can't let me miss this one. I'm going too. So literally all the Sahaba who just came back injured and wounded from Uhud are ready to go. Even Ammara, you know, Umara radiallahu anha. Ammara radiallahu anha, if you remember, she was that one woman that when there was no men defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was by herself defending him from Ibn Qamiyah. By herself, she got so many wounds and she kept fighting against him. She's the one who drove Ibn Qamiyah away. This guy pretending like he can kill the Prophet. Come on, man. This guy's a chump. Whatever. So Ammara radiallahu anha says she was so injured. She said, I wanted to go too, but I couldn't go. These are Sahaba, man, subhanAllah, they're ready again. So the Prophet ﷺ says, we're going to Hamra'ul Asad. The place is called Hamra'ul Asad. It is a place which is closer than the area of Roha. And they go there, and the Prophet ﷺ, he actually tells them, and he says to everyone, that all of you get ready. All of you prepare. We're going to get back to war again. They have about 500 or so. He said, but before that, I need you all to do one thing. He said, to light torches. It's very interesting what the Prophet ﷺ does. He says, to light torches. He says, around the entire army, light 500 or so torches. How terrifying is that? How, if you saw it, an army of people that are injured and wounded and having swords out ready, sharpening their blades and getting ready for war, and then they have these torches around them, sitting like this huge fire. And where are they? How close are they to Abu Sufyan's army? One hill away. SubhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ is doing something so important here, something so amazing in terms of military tactics. It's all psychological warfare here. It's all psychological warfare. The Prophet ﷺ knows the army is a little weaker. He knows that we may not be able to stand a chance, but he knows that if we can outdo them and show them how powerful we look, that's more than enough to win the battle. So what does he do? He lights the torches. The soldiers are ready. 500 of them are ready. And mind you, the Prophet ﷺ, if they need to go to war, he was already ready to go to war. He told Ali to go back, remember? And he actually said that if they want to come back and fight, we're ready to fight. So the Prophet doesn't like this. Allah does sent a man to make sure the fighting didn't happen. His name was Ma'bad, Ibn Abi Ma'bad, radiallahu anhu. Ma'bad, radiallahu anhu, comes. He's a leader of a tribe. As soon as he comes to meet the Prophet there, he accepts Islam. And because he sees the power of this army. You can imagine such awliya, such friends of Allah Ta'ala, joined in one spot, ready to go to war. You would accept Islam just by looking at them at a distance. This man Ma'bad accepts Islam and says, Ya Rasulullah, let me go speak to Abu Sufyan. I'll handle it for you. So let me go speak to Abu Sufyan. Because he knows Abu Sufyan. He goes there and he sees Abu Sufyan and them discussing. Someone was saying, let's not go and fight. We're tired, we're exhausted. We already beat them, you know. Abu Sufyan said, no, we have to go and fight. We barely took any war spoils. This is literally a battle without any victory. There's no money afterwards, you know. It's if you fought a battle without anything. There's no profit. There's nothing. So they got upset. And Abu Sufyan said, the Prophet is still alive. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We took no war spoils, no prisoners, nothing. We're literally going back to Makkah with nothing. So Abu Sufyan's trying to win them over to go and fight. Ma'bad comes and he starts to speak to them and says to say that to Abu Sufyan. He says, oh, Abu Sufyan, I need to let you know something as a friend, as a good man. You're my boy here. You need to understand this, that I just saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I saw his army and they're ready to go to war again. Okay, mind you just beat these people. What do you think the army is thinking of the mushrikeen, you know, the people that came from Makkah? What are they thinking? They're thinking this army is going to be weak, tired, exhausted. What's it go in there, trample everything, destroy the city and leave? You're hearing the army is ready to fight again. Mind you, they were losing the battle in the beginning. They're tired too. So now the entire army is like completely ablaze. They're like all talking, no, we don't need to fight them. This is definitely not worth it. These people are crazy. They're suicidal. They're completely ready to go and die. You know, so our entire army is terrified about what's about to happen. They're like, we're not fighting these people. These people are insane. Remember what Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu anhu, later on when he fought the Romans, he said to them what? And this is something you remember. He said to the Roman general, he said, then fight us if you want. The same way your men love wine, our men love death. Not going to be able to compete with that. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gets his army ready, 500 strong. Ma'bad tells him, don't fight them. He says, I swear, wallahi, as soon as this night is over, they're going to come over the hill and attack you. They're going to come over the hill and attack you. So Abu Sufyan now is having second thoughts. This is the only practical thing he can do. You know, now he's going to... So the Prophet is fighting his own psychological battle. And Abu Sufyan is also very intelligent. So he's also going to fight his own psychological battle back. It's a battle of minds here. Two minds are fighting. So what does Abu Sufyan say? He sees a caravan coming back. And he sees a caravan called Urqaz. And he says to them... caravan that was coming to the area of Urqaz. And he goes to them and says that, please... But while you're going to Medina, right, because they're going to go to, he said, when you come back to Makkah for the next season, I promise you this much profits and this much money. But can you go and tell Muhammad like a little message from our side? Okay, just send a message, you know, because Abu Sufyan's not having it. So what does he say to him? He says, send him the message that we're ready to fight him. He should be afraid of us. Inna nasa qad jama'u lakum fakhshawhum. That's all he said. He said, just tell them that they, because we need to, because in his mind is, we can't lose. Come on, we have the stronger army. They came with a weak army and we're going to run away first? It doesn't look good. They have to leave first. You know, it's like the thing of like when two guys are like standing up to each other, you know, back in like Jahiliyyah days, what is it? Like two guys are standing up to each other, like you punch me first. Now you punch me first. They're all standing up, like pressing each other, like you hit me. And no one's going to hit each other because both of them are cowards, you know? So Abu Sufyan is just like kind of like showing himself like, yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, we got the sword ready. And he's terrified out of his mind. So he says, okay, when this little tribe goes back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, let them know about this. Okay. Now these are two minds fighting. But one is a human mind, the other one's a prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You think you can compare to this? Especially like I told you, the Prophet isn't literally there. If it push comes to shove to go to fight, the Prophet isn't ready to go and fight. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then this tribe, this caravan comes and meets Prophet Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says to him, Inna nasa qad jama'u lakum fakhshawhum. Okay? Allah that records this in the Quran. That's why I keep repeating it. The people have come to you, you should fear them. Fazadahum imana, their iman increased. And the Prophet says these words, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Prophet says, Allah is enough for us. What a great trustee he is. He tells them these words and says, go back and tell Abu Sufyan this. Abu Sufyan hears these words, comes back. What do you think he does? He left. Such cowards. They weren't ready. They only came because they had a bigger number than the Muslims. And they just got lucky in that moment. That one time, Ibn Mas'ud said this was the only time Sahaba ever desired dunya. Ibn Mas'ud, you said, I never saw the Sahaba desire dunya before this or after this. So this is the only time this happened where they desired the world and this thing happened. So what did Allah Ta'ala do at this moment? After all this battle of the minds, this strategic battle, the Sahaba are now leaving like they're victorious. As if they won Uhud when they just lost yesterday. As if they won the battle. And at this moment, finally wahi, revelation comes from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Finally revelation comes. Ayat after ayat. Not 2, not 3, not 4, not 10, not 20, not 30. 60 ayat come down from Allah Ta'ala. Explaining from the beginning of the battle all the way to the end. Allah Ta'ala shows the Sahaba radiallahu anhum from beginning till the end how I was with you. And then Allah Ta'ala every single moment explains it with precise detail, your emotions, your feelings. They said this is one of the most specific parts in the Quran that Allah speaks to everyone's hearts. Like Allah Ta'ala knows, right? He's there. And he says, I was there when the two people in the beginning, you know, tribes were leaving. Allah Ta'ala said, I made their hearts firm, right? Allah Ta'ala talks about the time when the Prophet was calling them, saying, I'm the messenger of Allah, come, come. And Allah Ta'ala says, I was there. I was there when the message was mentioned. Allah Ta'ala says, I was there. Every single moment was there. Even Hamra al-Asad, I just told you. Allah Ta'ala said, I was there. I was with you the entire time. You don't have to worry about it. So these 60 ayat come. And I wish I could explain every single one without enough time. Okay? I'm going to explain some just general things. And this is going to wrap up the ribbon or the gift of Uhud for the entire Ummah. There is a couple of things that we learned. Okay? At this defeat of Hamra al-Asad, when this Abu Sufyan left, it's no longer clear anymore who won or who lost. You can't say anymore who won or who lost. It was clear after Uhud, you're like, okay, maybe the Quraysh lost. But after this, what are you going to say? Actually, I can't really put a finger on it. So Allah Ta'ala, from the beginning, he clarified this. So now we have to talk about these things. Allah Ta'ala, he lifts up their souls. He lifts up their spirits. First thing first, we have to talk about this. This is literally, in these 60 ayat, scholars have found hundreds of lessons. I don't have enough time to go through every single one. The first thing that we need to see is that the Sahaba were feeling miserable. They were feeling sad. They're feeling downtrodden. They're feeling depressed. So now when someone's feeling depressed, what do? You cheer them up, okay? When someone's feeling too happy, what do? You kick them a little bit. All right, you give them a hafiz, whatever. You know, like, whatever. So what did Allah Ta'ala do after Badr? 60 ayat also came in Badr. So the Anfal came in Badr. It's about 60 ayat or so. After Badr, Allah Ta'ala kind of tells Sahaba, all right, that was good, but I did everything. You didn't do anything. Don't get too happy. Right? People do that, right? And then after Uhud, Allah Ta'ala does the opposite and says, don't worry, it happens to everyone. You know, everyone has a bad day. It's okay. And you literally read this part, you just get so happy. I tell you, if you get really depressed, read this part in Ali Imran from Ayah 121, you'll get happy, inshallah. Or read Surah Yusuf. Wallahi, if you don't get happy after Yusuf, I don't know. Something's wrong with the heart. Okay? These two things you can read. So what does Allah Ta'ala tell them first? First thing. So the steps to cheer the heart are four things. Guys, remember Badr? Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدَ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ. You were so lowly in Badr and so weak in Badr. Didn't Allah help you in Badr? Don't get too down. Remember Badr, it was just literally last year. You stay happy. Then what does Allah Ta'ala say? That it happened, قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنْ. Before this, many people had the same type of battles. It happens to everyone. This is a bad day, okay? Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَحِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't weaken, don't sadden. You are Muslims. Why would you ever be considered weak? Because you're believers, Allah will make you victorious at the end. And then finally, Allah Ta'ala tells them, so that if you lost 70 or so, what did Quraysh lose? 72, back in Badr. Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. This is how we do. People, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. What happens? Why does Allah do this? Right? This is a question. Why is it that Muslims don't win all the time? If Muslims always won, you can never separate the real people from the fake ones. Because some people are only there because we always win. So you have to show which ones are true Muslims that would win, that would be with the Prophet through thick or thin, through victory or loss. And that's what happens when you lose. That's what happens when you lose sometimes. Now, if the Prophet always lost, you tell yourself this religion has nothing in it. So what does Allah Ta'ala do? He said, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And this will come up again. I promise you. When we talk about Sirah of the Prophet, this one little lesson is going to come up again. It's going to make people turn into Muslims. It's going to come up, inshallah. So Allah Ta'ala first says to cheer them up. What does Allah Ta'ala tell them second? It says, وَلَقَدْ عَفَىٰ عَنْكُمْ. He says that there were certain people, مِنْكُمْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا. Some of you wanted dunya, some of you wanted the hereafter. Talking about the archers, right? Allah forgave you. Some of you, إِنَّمْ سَتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِبَعْدِ مَا كَسَبُوا وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ. Allah says, some of you got turned away on the battlefield, shaitan made you slip a little bit, you tripped. That Allah says, and he forgave you. Allah is saying, don't worry, it happens. Allah forgave you. It is a mistake. It's wrong. You've seen the consequence though of what happens when people chase after dunya. When people are looking at only about what happens in this world and not thinking about what happens the year after, and not thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what happens is what? People start chasing after this world. And so they start making excuses. Like the archers made excuses. What was the excuse? That look, the battle is already won. We're losing out on the world. So they disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They went after the world, and what happened? Total failure. What do we find? Everyone, when they're trying to do a haram thing, no one ever does haram, just straight haram. They make an excuse before they do haram. They say, I'm only doing this because of this. I'm majbood, I'm forced. I had to buy that one house. There's no other way for me. What am I supposed to do? You know, people start making all these excuses about certain things we do. And you have to ask yourself, after seeing Uhud, is it really worth going towards haram? Is it really worth going towards haram? If the entire, after this entire battle, you saw how much destruction happened, that your entire family will be ruined, your culture will be ruined, your community will be ruined, is it worth going towards a haram and making excuse? You think after Sahaba learned this one lesson, you think they're ever going to forget? They never forgot the lesson. That's why everything afterwards, it was just off of this. So now Allah Ta'ala, what he does is, after he says, number one, that you all cheer up. It happens to everybody. It happened to people of the past. That's fine. Second thing Allah Ta'ala says, I forgive you all. You're completely fine. No one could ever criticize the Sahaba because Allah Ta'ala said, I forgave all of them. So what are you complaining about? That's number two. Third thing Allah Ta'ala says about he says he sought to purify you. He sought to purify you. This purification happened in three ways. One to disbelievers, one to the hypocrites, and one to the Muslims. To the disbelievers, Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. That because the disbelievers became arrogant and happy, and you know they thought they were on the truth, Allah said they were going to go straight to Jahannam. So don't worry about them. That's number one. Number two, the hypocrites, because they left in the beginning of the battle, Allah Ta'ala showed to all the Muslims that you can't trust these people anymore. So Allah made it clear, he purified the entire army from these hypocrites. So now Abdullah bin Ubay ibn Salul, remember, the biggest badmash you're ever going to hear in your life. This man, he is the leader of these munafiqeen, the hypocrites. So he used to, before Jumu'ah, before the Prophet ﷺ used to come out and give a bayan and give the khutbah and then lead the salah, he used to come out and start talking. Right, again, if you remember, he was supposed to become the king of Medina. This Muhammad came and took it from his spot. So he just accepted Islam after Badr to just show, yeah, we're on your side. But he used to come, and obviously, because everyone wants the mic. No one likes that Maulana has the mic. Everyone gets so mad, like, oh man, okay, I need like 5 minutes. You got to give me 5 minutes. You know, you talked about your life, I got to talk about my life. No, whatever. Whatever. Abdullah used to stand up before Jumu'ah and start giving his own bayan. And then he used to say, and you got to follow Muhammad. You know, you got to follow Muhammad. Muhammad's the man. Muhammad's great. And his deen is going to be right. And everything like that. He started, you know, beautify his words. Right. And so every Jumu'ah, okay, for 2 years, this man used to do the same thing. And Sahaba would be like, oh, God, this is going to be done. You know, then the Prophet would come out. They're like, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And then finally, the bayan, the khutbah would start and stuff. After Uhud, what do you think happened? He got up for that Jumu'ah and he started to speak. They said, Ya Adu Allah, Ijlis, O enemy of Allah, sit down. We saw what you're about. We saw what you're about. And then he said, how dare you? I've only speaking good words. I only talked about how to help the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how to help the deen of Allah. This is literally what the people do, right? Say, like, I was talking about good things. How dare you? How dare you sit me down? And he started to get very angry. They're like, yo, sit down. We're really not having it anymore. Sit down. You don't deserve to stand up anymore. So then he gets so angry, he actually steps over people's shoulders and starts to leave the masjid. Right? So now he's from Medina. So some guys from Medina actually come up to Abdullah and say, Abdullah, please, you know, sit down and ask the Prophet for forgiveness. Ask the Prophet for forgiveness. What does Abdullah bin Ubay ibn Salul say? I don't want his forgiveness. I don't need his forgiveness. And he leaves like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified about these munafiqeen that you can't trust them anymore. That's why, by the way, the Prophet was not even worried. When 300 people left the battlefield, you and I would start panicking and start counting the numbers and the digits and thinking, guys, I don't think this is the right option anymore. The Prophet said, we didn't even need them. They were a baggage on us. They were extra load. And we couldn't even get off the ground with these people. Now they're off. Alhamdulillah, we have an army of awliya. We have a small number. If Allah is helping you, who cares what number you have? Radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with them. When the Prophet ﷺ, so the munafiqeen were completely purified. Allah showed the clarity between them and the true Muslims. Now, what did Allah do for the Muslims? You saw Mus'ab. You saw Hamza. You saw Anas ibn Nadhr. You saw all these great guys. When you were listening to their stories, you're like, man, these are true Muslims. Certain Muslims are like, you know, if I get into the lowest level Jannah, that's still like 10 of this world. That's really good. I'll be happy if I just get in. You know, D minus, I get into Jannah, D minus, alhamdulillah. You know, certain people are like that. And may Allah allow us all to enter Jannah. I'm not saying, if I get into Jannah with the D, alhamdulillah, okay? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But certain people are thinking that, ya Allah, if I were to be in the low spot, and the Prophet would be in that high spot, and I could never visit him like I wanted to, then what's the point, you know? Like, you know, they used to say, when Qira lil Qa'qa', Qa'qa' was a great sheikh of the past, he was a great tabi'i, he said to him, he said, tell us something that would make us want to go to Jannah. And then he said to them very beautifully, he said, قَالَ فِيهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. In it is Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And do you need anything else? So some people are aspiring for Jannah to Firdaus. Some people want to get there. So only through difficulty, you're going to see who's real and who's fake. And who's really going to strive for Allah and who's not. So Allah said, I got to see. I want to, you have to show me right now who's real. So Mus'ab is real. All of them are real. And the greatest of all these real people are what? Are the martyrs, the shuhada. The martyrs that entered into Jannah, Allah Ta'ala tells them, they said, don't ever think these martyrs are dead. None of them are dead, right? بَلْهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. All they'll be given risk from Allah Ta'ala. What happens right after this incident? The Prophet tells us, he says, the martyrs were immediately entered into Jannah. You know, for us, if we were to die as not martyrs, may Allah give us the shahada in whatever way. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. You know, we should aspire for this. The Prophet said, whoever aspires to become a shaheed, even if he were to die in his deathbed, he'll still be a martyr. That's what we should want. So the Prophet used to say these things, and he told them, he said about the martyrs that entered into Jannah, Allah Ta'ala put them onto green birds, and they're frolicking and they're flying over Jannah wherever they want. They get to enjoy the beautiful parts of Jannah. And they have their station is where? Where are their homes before their real homes? Allah Ta'ala gave them homes that are shaped like lanterns under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said this. He said the martyrs are enjoying like that. And then what happens is the martyrs, there are two big names from them that they started to speak to Allah Ta'ala. And it was whom? Hamza and Mus'ab. Radiallahu anhumah. They started to say to Ya Allah, they say, Ya Allah, we want that our brothers know to not get weak on the battlefield. Ya Allah, we would love that they would know that everything is fine with us. We would love them to know that they should fight for as hard as they can, because at the end, it's just going to be happiness. So Allah Ta'ala said, on your behalf, I'll bestow this message to them. So what does Allah Ta'ala say? وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مُوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. These ayat were because Hamza and Mus'ab said, Ya Allah, tell them they need to know that everything is fine on this side. So Allah Ta'ala reveals this ayat because of these two. That everything is fine. That Allah Ta'ala goes to the martyrs and says to them, do you desire anything of the world? We talked about this right before Abdullah bin Haram. He's part of them, right? What Allah Ta'ala goes to the martyrs and says, do you desire anything? Do you want anything? After Jannah, do you want anything? Three times Allah Ta'ala asked them and they finally say, Ya Allah, just send us back to the world so we get killed one more time. We want to fight one more time. The Prophet ﷺ said, if I could be a person that can go on the battlefield, then die, then be revived, then die, then be revived. 10 times the Prophet ﷺ said, I would love to do that because of the feeling at that moment. This is people that entered into Jannah are thinking about that. May Allah grant us that reality understanding. The Prophet ﷺ, so again, this is all clarification because why? The Prophet ﷺ is suffering because Hamza radiallahu passed away. It's not easy for him. Then hearing this message that Hamza wants to speak to everybody while they're still in the world would make the Prophet ﷺ unbelievably happy. Unbelievably happy. And then what do we find? Everything became clear. And then finally the next message comes from Allah Ta'ala. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. These are the same words of Mus'ab on the battlefield. Allah reveals them in the Quran and says, you, Muhammad, is nothing but a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولِ. Many messages like him came before. أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَمْ قُتِلَ إِنْ قَلَبَتُ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. If he dies or he's martyred or he is killed, would you turn back on your heels now? Are you going to turn away from the battle? So Allah says this to the Sahaba because why? He's preparing them mentally because when the Prophet actually passes away, they should all be ready for that. That's the reason why this came down right now. So that way you all can relax. You and I are listening to these points and you're like, wow, it's actually a really good thing that they actually lost the battle because all this amazing stuff is coming. Then what does Allah say? وَكَأَيِّ مِن نَبِيٍ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ. Allah tells them that how many prophets of the past that many people fought with them. They were such obedient people. Allah Ta'ala calls them Ribbiyun, people that would follow the Prophet alayhi salam at that time, and they would never even budge. Who's Allah Ta'ala referring to? Scholars have discussed this, and they said, referring to the Nabi Yusha alayhi salam. Yusha alayhi salam is the Nabi who was with Nabi Musa alayhi salam. If you remember the story in Kaf, right, there was a, him going out to go meet Khidr. It's a long story. I would love to tell that right now. Not enough time. Yusha alayhi salam was the companion with Musa alayhi salam at that time. Yusha was not a prophet at the time. Because he was a companion of the prophet, Allah made him a prophet too. He showed how to be a good student to his teacher. So Allah blessed him with the same status as his teacher, alayhi salam. So Yusha alayhi salam becomes a Nabi after Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam's army is completely weak. Bani Israel, they just came out of slavery after being Firauns, whatever, for such a long time. And so, you know, Musa alayhi salam is trying to make them go and fight in a battle. They're like, we're not fighting, we're not handling this, Musa. So then what does Allah say? Musa, if you're done with them, then for 40 years, they're going to go around in a circle, they go around in a labyrinth, and just keep going around and around, and the weak will die off from them. The ones who will be raised on this difficulty will be the ones that you'll take into the army. Musa alayhi salam, he watches the Bani Israel the entire time while this is happening for 40 years. Musa alayhi salam passes away sometime in the middle. Harun alayhi salam comes next. Harun alayhi salam watches the thing for a little bit. He also passes away. The next prophet is Yusha alayhi salam. Now Yusha alayhi salam has men with these are true men ready to take down. He goes through, you know, the area of Jericho, Ariha. He's going to conquer Jerusalem. He's going to conquer Quds. He goes to the area of Jericho, right? And so you might probably will notice this connection. So the Jericho has big walls, the walls of Jericho. I'm not even joking, okay? This is where he got the name from. The guy I'm referring to, whatever. Okay, none of you guys are WWE guys, whatever. Okay, so Yusha alayhi salam comes to those walls and they're not going down. So what does he do? There's something, and I'll tell you the story after. He makes tawaf around the walls seven times. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions this. He says he makes tawaf around the wall seven times, and then they blow the horn. And then the walls come crumbling down, and they're able to go into the area of Jericho and completely take it over, you know? And I kid you not, I was with the rabbi here, right? We went to the ICE, the immigration place. I kid you not, I was just thinking like, you know, she's like, all right, we're going to do this seven times around, and we're going to blow the horn. I'm like, whoa, she's trying to use something. You know, like, I was like, whoa, man, this is some crazy stuff right here, you know? Be careful, guys, walking at nighttime, making tawaf around here. You know, be careful, guys, okay? SubhanAllah. In any case, yeah, so this is some crazy stuff. So Yusha alayhi salam, he conquers all the way up to the area of Quds. Finally goes there and he turns around to the army and says, anyone who has recently married, anyone who is still building their house, anyone who is waiting for their animal, their livestock to give birth, to have more livestock, says, all you leave the army. You don't need any weaklings right now. No one is coming on this journey for anyone who's still waiting for something of the world. So if you're coming, you're going to give your life. Yusha alayhi salam was like that. And so they go out to battle. It's Friday night. Okay, it's about to be Friday night. It's all the way on the eve. It's like after Asr time. Now, because they're from the religion of Musa alayhi salam, they have one rule that they can't do. What is that one rule? Fighting has to stop on that day, Saturday, the Sabbath. It starts from Maghrib time. So Yusha alayhi salam is fighting and fighting and fighting. People are dying on both sides. Yusha alayhi salam seeing the sun moving. And he says, innaki ma'mura wa ana ma'mura. Allah mahbis shams. He says, you are commanded by Allah. I'm commanded by Allah. He says, oh Allah, hold the sun. He makes dua and the sun is held in its spot till Yusha alayhi salam conquers the entire city. This is what Allah does. Allah says, how many prophets like, oh Nabi of Allah, oh Sahaba, how many prophets came before you like Yusha and his companions? You guys are getting weak? Look at this man. Isn't your prophet the better prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How could you ever consider yourself to be true Sahaba of him when you have prophets like this in the past? You at least have to show something like this. Man up, oh Sahaba. Allah tells them, this is inspirational for them. They hear these things and they keep lesson after lesson, point after point. And then finally, what we find is, at the end of all these points, Allah Ta'ala says, "Al-Hamra al-Asad," the battle just happened. "Inna nasa qad jama'unakum fakhshawhum." These people have gathered to fight against you. Fear them. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِيَعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. When you said, "Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakil," Allah is enough for us, and Allah is such a great trustee. Allah said, "I recorded in the Quran because you did the right thing there." That after min ba'd ma asabahum al-qarh. After getting injured, Allah said, you came back on the battlefield. You did the right thing. Allah said, what a great thing you've done. So Allah recorded the words in the Quran. All of them after the Prophet said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. The Prophet said, the Sahaba started saying, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. When they're going back to Medina, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. We don't need anybody else anymore. They're saying all this. Now what happens is 1 year later, Abu Sufyan, he said what? 1 year later, I'm coming back. I'm going to come back. He said, I'm going to come back to Badr and we're going to finish what we started. So the Prophet ﷺ, he comes in Sha'ban, 1,500 Sahaba. He waits on the battlefield, says, we're waiting. Come. Abu Sufyan, he hears about the army of 1,500. He says, you know, the prices now for armor and weaponry is too high. We can do this later. So he doesn't even come. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. You don't need anyone else. So these are the amazing points, okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوا مُخَافُونِ. Allah ta'ala says, that's only shaitan that made you scared. People are scared of difficulties. Legitimately, people are scared of difficulties. Sahaba and Muslims of the past, they looked at difficulties like Allah ta'ala loves them. You want to understand? Let's understand this a little bit. When life is going well, there are ayat that, like for example, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, when he's during his iftar, one time, it's Hadith of Bukhari, when he had so many dishes around him during his iftar time, and he started to cry. And they said, he said, why are you crying, Abdurrahman? You know, he's so wealthy, he's so doing so well, right? And he started to cry. And he said, that I look at this food and I think of Mus'ab. I think of Mus'ab, that he left this world without taking anything. So he's going to benefit from everything hereafter. I worry that Allah's paying us back in this world. Abu Hurairah then used to wipe his nose with a silk handkerchief. And he used to start crying. He said, there was once a time when Abu Hurairah didn't have food in his stomach. And they say, Ya Allah, are you paying us all back now? We don't even want it here. Umar radiallahu anhu used to look at the wealth that was coming in from Kisra and Persia and all these people and saying, Ya Allah, are you paying us back now? We don't want it here. This is how they used to think about these things. They knew, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wusaha. People look at difficulties, but you forget Allah that said, if it's a difficulty, you can handle it. Because why? Allah doesn't burden a soul more than it can handle. If you can handle the big weights, Allah gave you the big weights and said, lift them. You can lift them every single time. Allah will never give you a difficulty you can't handle. I used to think for myself that I say, Ya Allah, there's no musibah. I'm getting worried. A musibah come down and I start getting happy. Because now Allah is showing I care about you. Don't worry. When people are like, you know, when you get a lot of money, get it. Things you can throw big parties, everything, right? MashaAllah, they're bank, right? You got bank, you know? And you start to forget about Allah Ta'ala. Whereas when you know, you start to pull pennies, pick pennies, and you know, the rent is coming and the bills are coming, and now it seems so close. Now what do you think about all the time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us. Fajr becomes so easy because the blanket becomes so light. What happens? It's like some type of miracle. That's subhanAllah, when problems come, blanket becomes light. When problems are not there, blanket becomes heavy. Allah made it like that. So don't look at difficulties like the difficulties. Think that Allah ta'ala, He's showing His mercy. He's gonna show you how He'll solve the problem. When we see a problem from Allah ta'ala, we think, Ya Allah, show me the solution. Because when Allah brings the solution, it's 100% down. So now all these things become so easy for them. There's so much to look forward to. And the last thing that I'll speak about, inshallah ta'ala, is just the big question that we started off with, okay? Is that question of, was Uhud really a loss? After everything we spoke about, what can you say? People look at Uhud and say it's the loss for the Muslims. And I sat there for a long time. And, you know, I'm preparing this bayan, right? There's a lot of books you look through and everything. And subhanAllah, I see the same thing. Another author said the same thing. He said, I can't really say that Uhud is really a loss. How could you say that? After everything we just talked about, how could it ever be a loss? It's really hard to say. If we look at that one moment, that one measly moment, that one little pixel of life, right? You look at that one moment, even with ourselves, you look at that one pixel, sometimes you think life is so difficult. But when you start to look a little bigger, start to expand it and start looking a little bigger and keep getting bigger and start seeing the full picture, things get very declouded, gets very messy. So what happens? If you look in the little picture, you say that one moment the Muslims lost. They were running away from the battlefield. But then you think a little more. You're like, oh wait, Quraysh didn't do that victory parade. Quraysh didn't take any war spoils. Didn't take any prisoners, right? And then you start thinking a little bigger. It's like, oh wait, brother, they lost 70. We lost 70, right? And then you start thinking a little bigger. It's like, oh wait, actually, Medina was completely protected. Nothing happened to Medina, right? Oh wait, we think a little bigger and we start thinking, oh wait, Hamra al-Asad, the Prophet ﷺ went there and he showed them how strong he was. There was not even a battle, it was a battle of the minds. The Prophet showed them how smart he is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You start to look a little bigger, start to see, oh actually next year, the Prophet ﷺ showed them how big of cowards they were. They didn't even come back to fight. You think a little bigger and you think of the martyrs, the shuhada, and you're thinking about Hamza and Mus'ab and all these great sahaba radiallahu anhum. They're all waiting on the other side for us. And you start to think that, وسلم, and what the Quran says that never weaken.
We can't hear you.